Would you please turn your Bibles to chapter 2 of Luke? That time of the year, but beloved, when you get there, stand with me. We're not going to look at his birth yet. We're going to look at 40 days after his birth. Now, I want to say that Christmas is not about presents. It's not about a tree. It's not about the lights. It's not about good food, although, boy, I like good food. But that's not what Christmas is about. You see, Christmas is about God giving a Savior to the world. Christmas is about Jesus Christ coming into the world. And I hope you realize that you and I can celebrate Christmas 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. It's not just once a year. Amen? So I'm thankful for this time of the year, but again, I'm thankful most of all that I know the true meaning of Christmas. How about you? Amen? All right, is everybody in chapter 2? Let's begin reading, beginning in verse 21. Luke chapter 2 and verse 21, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel because he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Let's pray. Father, again, as I break the bread of life, bring to my memory those things I've studied. Let me recall what you've laid on my heart to say. And let me preach with boldness and authority your truth. May your people be encouraged. Again, if there be one that knows not Christ and the free pardon of sin, may they be saved. Thank you for the privilege and honor I have being able to stand before the congregation. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Please be seated. We're going to do a little expository preaching this morning. Amen. So look at verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel because he was conceived in the womb. Now, understand, concerning the law of Moses, every man-child born was to be circumcised on the eighth day. You'll find that in Leviticus. Understand that 8 days had gone by and he was taken and he was circumcised according to the law of Moses. You say, well, why is that so important? Because understand, when Jesus came, he didn't come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill the law. And because he fulfilled the law, understand, there was only one that could fulfill it. Because the law was perfect. And there wasn't nobody on the planet at that time that could fulfill the law except the one named Jesus. And this is the blessing. Jesus came and fulfilled the law, and because he was perfect, because he was righteous, because he was able to fulfill the law, you and I don't have to worry about it. Because we could never fulfill it. Praise the Lord that he fulfilled the law. Now that was 8 days after he was born in a manger. Now 40 days have taken place since he's come into the world. And we go to the next verse. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, was accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Two things here. Again, Mary was required by the law, after she had the baby, to purify herself. Now, I'm not getting into that. I ain't touching that with a 10-foot pole. But you know, you ladies know what I'm talking about, right? Now, think about this. She also did what she was supposed to do, right? So, after the days of purification, they go to the temple. And notice what it says. And they brought to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. There was another thing. You see, every firstborn male, according to the law of Moses, had to be redeemed by the Lord. Presented to the Lord. And, beloved, it's kind of funny, isn't it? Can you imagine the Lord having to be redeemed? He's the Redeemer. But listen this morning. He had to be presented. You see, Christ had to fulfill the law perfectly. And he was the only one that could. Perfectly. So now, here is Mary and Joseph, 40 days since the Savior has come into the world. They go to the temple. They go to church. Beloved, that's why it's so important we as parents, and I'll even throw in grandparents, have the responsibility to make sure we get in the habit and the practice of taking our kids to church. Amen. You don't pawn them off for someone else to take them to church. Mom and Dad, you take them to church. God expects you to take them to church. Amen. Now, notice what it says. And as it is written, the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. That's the redeeming part. Now, notice to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord. Two turtle doves, a pair of turtle doves, or two young pigeons. And again, that was the custom. Now I want to get to Simeon. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was what? Just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Now, there's three things here. First of all, he was just. Secondly, he was devout. And thirdly, he was filled with the Spirit of God. Beloved, we all are to be shooting for that. as born again children of God, we should be just, living as righteous as we can. No, not perfection. Only Jesus is perfect. But we should be living righteously as we've been called to live. Secondly, we should be devout. You know what devout means? It means we're devoted to the Lord. We are going to serve Him no matter what. And above all, you can't be those first two if you ain't saved and you don't have the Holy Ghost in your heart. Can't be. Amen? But listen, here is an elderly man of God. And he is just. He is devout. He's full of the Holy Ghost. And he's waiting for the consolation of Israel. And that word means he's waiting for the Messiah to come. Now here's a Jew. Amen. A Jew looking for the Messiah. And by the way, he was an Orthodox Jew. Amen. Those are pretty hard nuts to crack. But he's looking for that consolation. And God has promised before he dies, he will see the Messiah. Praise the Lord, we've seen the Messiah. At least I hope you've seen the Messiah. I know I have. Have you? Now, notice what it says. He's there in the temple, him and Anna. And they are there because the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit Baptist, I know it scares you when you say ghost. The Holy Spirit has led them to the temple at that very moment. It wasn't by accident. Notice. And it was revealed unto them by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he'd seen the Lord's Christ. The Messiah. Now, look at what it says here. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, look at this praise here. Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God. Now here is a man that's been searching and waiting for the accepted time because God had promised him before he drew his last breath he would see the Christ. He would see the Messiah. He would see the Savior. And the Holy Spirit, and by the way, the name Simeon means he who hears it. So he heard through the Holy Ghost that, hey, that one that just passed, it's him. And he knew who that baby was through the Holy Ghost. Now understand, Simeon knew. And the reason he knew was because the Holy Spirit had revealed that this is the Lord's Christ. This is the Savior. But listen to me. Not everybody knew who that baby was. Amen? Now, when he was born in a manger, the angels certainly knew who he was, and they told some lowly shepherds who he was. But listen to me. Not everybody else in Bethlehem knew who he was. That high priest that circumcised the Savior had no clue who that was. Those folks at that temple didn't have an idea who that was. But Simeon knew who he was, and the only question I have for you this morning is, do you know who he is? Amen? Do you know who he is? And the only thing that's going to matter is what Jesus asked in Matthew when he said, what think you of Christ? And only you can answer that. You see, he is the Son of God. Now, let me tell you who that baby is. Simeon knew. Anna knew. I hope you know. But if you don't, I'll tell you who he is. First of all, He's God manifested in the flesh. He's God. Secondly, He is the Redeemer. He came to redeem sinful man and reconcile them to God. And thirdly, I'll tell you who He is. He is the only Savior. He is the only way to God. That's who He is. Simeon knew. I hope you know. Now, notice with me. Then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, can you imagine? That old fella began to shout. Not only did he shout, he took the Lord Jesus up in his own hand. I can just see him praising God because that was the Messiah that was promised to come. That was promised to deliver. And beloved, I guess what I'm trying to get across is it doesn't hurt us, born-again children of God, to be vocal. It doesn't hurt us to shout. When was the last time you shouted about something? Not in anger. You never shout in anger. But you shout because of the Savior. You shout because of the blessings of God. You shout because you are His child. I remember growing up in church, listen to me, it was nothing to have people shouting and praising God, saying amen. It was nothing to see. My grandmother would throw phone books. You'd have to duck. She'd get excited. You say, well, Brother John, that's kind of fleshly. No, that's the spirit. Sometimes it just gets hold of you. Have you ever felt the need? You couldn't contain it anymore. You had to brag on the Savior. What He's done, that's what praising God is all about. And I'm here to tell you, Simon broke a lot of rituals that day, him and Anna. See, there was lots of rituals in the temple. But when he saw the Redeemer, when he saw the Messiah, listen to me, he couldn't contain it. He had to shout and praise the Lord. He had to take Him in His own hand and just lift Him up. We should be lifting Him up also. Amen. Amen, sister. It is awesome. We should be lifting Him up. Now, notice what He says, because He's going to do some prophesying here. Amen. Notice what it says. It says in verse 29, Lord, now lettest Thy servant depart in peace according to Thy word. You know what He said? I'll break it down for you. I'm ready to die. I'm ready to go home, Lord. I'm ready to go home. Let me depart. But let me say something. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you're not ready to depart. And you need to understand how important it is that you know the Savior, because once you die, that's it. You don't get a second chance. While you're here, while you're alive now, if you don't know the Savior, call upon Him and He'll save you now. Don't wait till you draw your last breath because it's done. Amen? Now, notice what He says. Oh, Lord, now let us thou servant depart in peace according to Your word. For mine eyes have seen Thy salvation. Understand. Simeon understood, Anna understood, that they had seen the Lord's salvation. That's why Jesus came into the world to die so that we might be saved. He died for the sins of His people. I've seen Thy salvation. Beloved, I pray you can praise Him for salvation. You see, we are to be able to praise Him. Notice the shame He suffered on the cross. Notice the pain and agony he suffered on the cross. Notice he died so that you and I could experience his salvation. If you can't praise him for anything else, you praise him for what he did on the cross. Amen. Notice. My eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. What's he saying? Pretty much Jesus came into the world to die for Jew and Gentile alike. He died for everyone that will call upon him. By faith and receiving, they're saved forever and they have eternal life. Amen. That's what he's saying. Jesus came into the world for that very thing. Notice what else. What he says. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people, Israel. He came for Jew and Gentile alike. Again, it goes back to Christ coming to provide salvation for the world. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Notice. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. I wonder if they were encouraged. Sure. I guarantee you they were encouraged. You ever felt like there's been times in your life you just couldn't praise the Lord? For whatever reason. Low in spirit. Discouraged. We've all been there, huh? But isn't it amazing when we're around people that start to praise the Lord, how it picks us up? Isn't it amazing when someone starts sharing a testimony, we can't contain ourselves. We have to just, amen. That's what he's doing here. He's encouraging Joseph and Mary. Because believe me, it wasn't the end of the story after he came into the world. Now notice. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. You see, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ was the chief cornerstone. And Israel rejected him as the chief cornerstone. Now listen, the majority did. There were a few that recognized him as that cornerstone. But he was rejected. And that's what Simon is prophesying here. Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. A sign. He came to his own, and his own received him not. And the word sign basically means miracles. And the birth of Christ was a miracle of God. A virgin conceived and had a child. And that child just happened to be God. And that was the way God came into the world. As 100% man and 100% God. Now, understand that sign. And he's telling Mary, listen, there will be a sign. The sign was that God gave his son, and it was a miracle. And yet men rejected that. In fact, when he went about his ministry performing miracles, they said, oh, he's got his power from the devil. And oh, by the way, just to throw a little salt in the wound, He was born of fornication. And then when he went to the cross and he died, they lied about his resurrection. Understand, the Lord showed signs to the people that he was who he claimed to be, but yet they rejected the signs. I'm going to go ahead and tell you this morning, there's still people out there who reject the signs. There's people today that reject in believing, one, that he is God. Two, he's the Savior. Three, he died on a cross. And the one that just blows their minds is, there's no way he came out of that tomb in 3 days. No one can live after they die. Oh, I have a Savior that can. And because of his resurrection, I'm guaranteed I'm going to also. Amen? Now, notice. Be a sign which shall be spoken against. And look at verse 35. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. You see, Simeon also prophesied and told Mary about that sword that would pierce her heart. You see, it had to have been tough on Mary to watch all of the rejection, to watch how her son was treated. But worst of all, can you imagine the pain she must have felt to see her son nailed to a cross, despised, rejected, spit upon, mocked, beaten, so you couldn't even recognize it was a person. The pain that old sword must have pierced in Mary's heart. But he was prophesying or telling her this to prepare her, because God wanted her prepared. It wasn't all grapes and jelly. Yes, the Savior was born, but the reason he came was to die. Born to die. Now, let's look at Anna for a minute and give an invitation. It says, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. And she was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. She was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. Now we find a widow woman. Faithfully serving God in the temple. And again, because of that faithfulness, God blessed her and allowed her through the Holy Spirit to know that that child there is the Savior, the Redeemer, the Messiah. Now, notice what happened. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Now, we saw Simeon praising the Lord vocally. And let me just throw this in, and I won't charge it. He wasn't ashamed of his Redeemer. He had no problem. I know today it's not vogue. Amen. But I'll go ahead and tell you, some of the praising that goes on today ain't praising. It's flesh. It's bringing attention to ourselves. It's not glorifying God. But he vocally praised the Lord, and he also picked the Lord up, held the Lord. He wasn't ashamed. Anna comes in. Again, she's up there too. An old man and old woman in the temple. She comes in after seeing this. She begins to praise the Lord vocally. But there's a difference. she even went one step further. You know, vocally they were both singing the praises of God. But she visibly took the praise to others so that they could come to know who that child is. In other words, they wanted everyone to know. And notice what it says. She didn't just stop at vocally praising the Lord, because look at what it says. And she, coming in the instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of them, of Him, excuse me, to all of them. You think God likes us to brag on Him? The Lord likes us to praise Him and brag on Him. And I'll go ahead and say it. He's the only thing worth bragging on. There ain't nobody else worth bragging on. Because we're old sinners. Old, nasty, dirty sinners. Apart from the grace of God, we'd all bust hell wide open. But God does ask that we praise Him. Because He's glorified when we praise Him. And God will use our praising, our testimonies, and our sharing Him to get glory, but to also win others to Him. So I would like to encourage us all. It's one thing to say we love the Lord. And I'll go ahead and say this. There's no doubt in my mind whatsoever, what I've read and studied, that Simeon and Anna loved God. Listen, if we truly love God like we're supposed to, like they did, then we will vocally praise Him. Visibly tell others about Him. Amen? They did it. They did it. What an example to us this morning. You know what took place back then? Is still good today. Wouldn't it be nice this Christmas, and I'll hush. Wouldn't it be nice this year if we all made Jesus the focal point of Christmas? Not the gifts, not the tree, not none of that stuff. It's okay, don't get me wrong. But recognize, child of God, the true meaning of Christmas. Make Him number one. Focus on Him Christmas Day. Let God get glory. Let's praise Him. The Savior should always be praised. And not just one time a year. We celebrate His coming into the world. Every day. Amen. Now, in close, if you're saved, you've got a lot to praise Him for. And don't worry about that new tie or that new fishing rod or that new coat, ladies, or dress. Don't even worry about those things, because if you know Jesus as your Savior, you've already got the greatest gift you could ever receive. And you ought to praise Him for that. But listen, if you're here and you've not accepted Christ as your Savior, we read it in the Word. You're not prepared for death, but death is coming. If He doesn't return in our lifetime, it's going to be knocking on the door, every one of us. And if you die before you ask Him into your heart, receiving by faith as your Savior, you're going to bust hell wide open. But the thing is, now is the accepted time. You still have now. We don't know about tomorrow, but you have now. So if the Lord is dealing with your heart, allow Him entrance as He knocks on your heart's door. And then you, like the rest of us that are saved, like Simeon and Anna, can shout praises for the Lord's Christ, the Lord's salvation. Amen.